This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Commercial programming. The content and opinions expressed do not necessarily reflect those of WSSP, Entercom Milwaukee, its staff, or sponsors.
From Lake Michigan to the Mississippi, and every river, lake, and field in between, let's talk everything outdoors.
All aboard! Ha ha ha! You're on the crazy train!
All aboard!
Welcome to the Wacky Walleye Cutting Edge Outdoors Show. Fasten your seatbelts for a wild ride through Wisconsin's outdoors. Only on 1250 AM, The Fan.
Well, folks, it's going to be a cold one today and tomorrow. How cold? It's going to be colder than a witch's thorax. That's right, but you can get out of the cold by going inside, grabbing a cup of joe or a hot chocolate, whatever, and sitting down and turning on your favorite radio station, 1250 AM The Fan, and listening to the Wacky Walleye's Cutting Edge Outdoors with Dan Bush and myself, Tom Neubauer, and Sam Schmitz on the boards. We come to you every Saturday morning from 6 to 8 a.m., and we are live. So if you want to be part of the show, give us a call at 414-799-1250 or email us live at ceoguys@yahoo.com. Good morning, Danny.
Good morning, Tom. It's going to be so cold today, the dogs will be froze to the fire hydrants, my friend.
That's
it's going
right.
to be a rough one.
Today and tomorrow, some cold ones, yes. Well, so, that's what we get. We live in Wisconsin. What are you going to do?
We got, yes, and we've got opening of sturgeon spearing today as well, although most of those guys are, well, they're all in a shanty, so they're sheltered. The wind chill is going to be the killer. And did you hear the little bit of a scandal with the sturgeon thing? Did you hear anything about that?
With the caviar, the eggs?
Yeah.
Evidently,
the guy in charge of the sturgeon program is on administrative leave because they're investigating that he was illegally selling eggs or giving them. I haven't heard the whole story, but it has to do with sturgeon eggs.
Yeah, I was reading it this morning that he was taking the sturgeon eggs and having them made into caviar, and then him and, you know, the buddies around the area, they were, you know, would have them, you know, they'd eat them because supposedly they're worth up to like $100 an ounce. So they're quite expensive, and he's in a little bit of trouble right now because what they do is they take some of those eggs and then they test them, you know, for making more sturgeon, you know, when I don't know what they all test in them, but yeah, he was testing them all right, testing on how they tasted.
Yeah, I guess it's rather embarrassing. I don't know. I think the whole rule on that part is they don't want people poaching sturgeon for the purpose of selling those eggs.
Right.
You know, now if he's got a whole pile of eggs, they are doing whatever with for research purposes, and he skimmed a little off on the side. Heck, I don't know. Dan Bush doesn't have a real problem with it, I guess. But I guess that's a no-no, especially if you're in charge of that program there.
I guess it was only a misdemeanor.
It's only a misdemeanor, but yeah. It's going to be a out of a job type of misdemeanor is what it's going to be.
Yeah, very well could be. Yeah, very
it's
well.
Rather interesting. So also along the lines of caviar and fish food and so forth. Did you hear that they are going to be working on marketing those Asian carp for consumption?
Yeah, they want to give them a different name. They just haven't told us what the different name is, unless you heard.
No, I haven't. I think they're going to wait till like June to announce it. It's going to be like they're going to try and market it under some, and I think the June, I think, is there some kind of a, that's the some type of a seafood type special time or of the year or whatever, when they, I don't know, the market has some kind of a celebration or whatever it is, and they're going to roll out the big introduction on the Asian carp. They'll probably give it some fancy name, kind of like the French trappers called muskrat, marsh rabbit in Europe years ago.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to be pretty good, Tom, but I hear it's got a lot of bones.
Well, I heard that, I mean, I saw a show one time on a guy filleting it and all that, but the thing is that it's the upper half of the meat, you know, like from the middle of the back to the top of the back, it's the upper half that's the good part. That's what I heard, and well, that's the easiest to fillet. But, yeah, you got to wonder what name. You know, it's kind of like, what do they call snails again? Escargot.
Escargot,
a fancy name for eating snails. I don't know if I don't think I'd eat a snail.
I don't know. I've you know, that upper part on the, I've heard that with regular carp, that the upper part of the back is where the white meat is, and that's the stuff that's okay.
Well, I've tried carp in the past. One of my brother-in-laws and I, we tried carp out of a clean lake, out of a river, and we tried them all different ways, whether they were fried, baked, boiled, whatever, steamed, and we tried all kinds of spices. And the only way a carp actually tastes pretty decent is smoked. All those other ways, they really sucked. Maybe it was us, but you know, I've had smoked carp, and that's okay.
I had smoked carp as well, Tom, and I agree with you. It was just okay. It wasn't like some smoked brown. You know, the best stuff I've had is smoked salmon, or actually smoked brown trout out of Lake Michigan was the best I ever had.
Oh, yeah, that stuff is great. Yeah, it's excellent. Yeah.
Speaking of brown trout Lake Michigan, I got a text from our friend Jim Dembeck, and he's hammering the brown trouts from Lake Michigan. He fishes from shore, so if a guy gets out there and does some research, this time of year, you can do open water fishing yet. It's not all about the ice fishing.
And I'm surprised that Harbor isn't, if he's underneath the Hone Bridge or, you know, back there behind Summerfest grounds, I'm surprised where he's fishing isn't froze over, you know?
Yeah. Well, he's always finds a spot somewhere there. Speaking of the fishing now, there Mike Kep, Captain Mike Kep, another extraordinary musky fisherman, will be possibly calling us. The company that he used to work for is running a kind of a real friendly fishery out here on Pewaukee, and I believe the funds to support it go to the United Way. And so that's going to be run out of mugshots today. So if he gets a chance, he will give us a call on that one. Can I tell you my ice fishing story, Tom?
Yeah, I hope you got one.
Well, here's the story. It was rather interesting. So last week, I enter the fishery, of course, on Pewaukee, and I come and set my tip-ups here on the east end. And, several times over the years, I've been able to catch a pike and go down to the fishery, typically at the waterfront, and get my fish measured, weighed, whatever, and win first prize for the biggest pike. So it's always kind of interesting. Well, it kind of dried up out here, but then I managed to find some green weeds last week and got set up there. And I went back out after I kept sitting in the window watching my tip-ups, and when I went out there to check, one of the shiners was ripped off, and I checked and the spool was froze. So what happened was it was so cold and I'd gotten a lot of moisture in the spool, and it didn't unthaw in the water. The line was wrapped loosely. I guess you ought to take your tip-ups inside, pull a bunch of line off, run it between your fingers, get all the ice and snow off of it, and let them dry thoroughly, which now I've done. So I was kind of like, well, nuts. I got, you know, I could have had a fish there. So then I'm setting another tip up, and, you know, I'm laying on my belly looking down the hole. I think I told you the story how a neighbor gal a couple of years ago saw me laying motionless for 10 minutes, and her daughter's a nurse and said, we gotta call 911. That guy had a heart attack because I hadn't moved. So, no, it's only me staring into the abyss. So I was staring into the abyss looking down the hole, and I'm trying to get my shiner adjusted above the weeds, and all of a sudden, here comes this big green thing, like a green submarine, coming into the view, and son of a gun, here comes a muskie for my, cruising on up for my shiner. And I yelled out loud to the muskie, no! And I pulled my shiner up out of the water because I'm not there to catch muskies.
Right.
Plus, you know, I want to get pike. I don't want to waste that big shiner that, boy, they're expensive these days. I don't want to waste that on a muskie. And my hands are too cold. It's too cold out to fart around on hooking a muskie. And I, you know, I don't want to hurt the muskie. So, three times I went to lower that back, that shiner back in, and that son of a gun would come cruising by. So finally, I just pulled the tip up out of that hole and thought, that's it. I'm just going to go move to another hole. I do not want to catch this muskie. So it was, but it was still pretty cool, Tom, watching them down there. And, you know, you can see how guys do the dark house spearing for pike. You know, and the sturgeon, and you can see if you're watching and you see a big fish come cruising in, it's kind of enchanting, it's kind of mesmerizing, I don't know, it's cool. Put it that way, it's cool to see them come cruising in. So then I went to another hole and I had my secret plan, Tom. This was my secret deluxe plan because about a month ago on a walleye tip up, we caught a nice big perch. So my secret plan was to use that dead bait perch for bait because dead bait works for pike a little bit later in the season. And it's legal, from what I understand, to use it out of the same lake if you caught it in that lake.
Right.
So I pulled out the secret weapon perch, and I'm laying on my stomach again, and I'm lowering it down, trying to adjust and get it just above the weeds. And out of nowhere, this big pike comes flying in, chomps down on the perch, and shakes its head back and forth like a little dog with their toy. So I immediately just jump up. The flag's not even under the tip-up spindle. Jump up, run, grab my sled, get all my hookout stuff. I'm thinking, oh, yeah, I'm going to get this big pike. I'm going to win the tournament. And I walked in. I kept looking for the spindle to start spinning, and nothing happens. So I lay back down, look in the hole. There's the perch hanging there. The thing just came by, grabbed it. And I think, you know, when it came and grabbed it, it wasn't motionless. I was kind of raising it up and down and trying to adjust the depth. But just that little jigging action up and down attracted that pike. But all he did was came and gave the dead perch a piece of his mind, I guess, and just chomped it, shook his head, and took off. Couldn't believe it. And,
wow.
Yeah, but it was cool seeing it anyway. So
yeah.
That was that, and then the ultimate kick in the groin, Tom, was I was going out there to pick up later, thinking, oh well, there's, you know, could have had a chance, could have, should have been, and flag pops up as I'm picking up one of my tip ups. I had two in yet. Flag pops up, spindle going like crazy. I'm like, well, you know, consolation prize, contest is over, but I can maybe get some nice fillets for Tom. And I go up, quit spinning. I go to pull up. It had reached a spot in the spool where the spool was froze on that tip up.
Oh.
So after it ripped 20 feet of line out, it dropped the bait as well. So that was my story. So I had some fish going. Now, it's pretty doggone cold, but I am going to enter the mugshots one. And I believe it's $15 to enter, guys, and you can go right to Mugshots Bar and enter. And remember, the cause goes to a good cause there. But who knows, Tom, maybe this week will be my week where I'll get a big pike on the tip-up again.
Yeah, maybe. And just to let our listeners know that it's not legal to spear northern pike in Wisconsin, but in Minnesota, I'm pretty sure there's a season for that, isn't there?
Yeah.
spearing pike? I think so, yeah.
Yep, they do. Yep.
Yeah, so anyway, we gotta go to our first break, folks, so stay tuned. We got more to come right here on the Wacky Walleyes Cutting Edge Outdoors.
Welcome back to Wacky Walleyes Cutting Edge Outdoors. Hey, we want to thank everybody out there, our friends listening to us today, near and far, in Wisconsin, out of Wisconsin, in the U.S., out of the U.S. We've got a worldwide audience there, Tom, and we especially thank the law enforcement officers out there. We back the badge, first responders, healthcare workers, and military folks out there, and everybody else out there, hardworking Americans, keeping us rolling. So thanks for doing what you do, and thanks to our listeners.
Yeah, I got to mention this several times during the show today. So this will be the first time that I'm mentioning that the end of an era is coming. Smokey's Muskie Shop will be closing this year. And on March 13th and 14th, there's going to be a liquidation sale. I don't know what the percentage off is going to be, but I'll tell you what, it's going to be darn good. So put that on your calendar, March 13th and 14th, liquidation sale at Smokey's Muskie Shop. I'm really sad to see it go, but it's going to still be there, just not a muskie shop. They'll sell live bait, but it's gonna be the headquarters for, what's the name of the guys who rent the boats that advertise on our show?
I got an announcement here Loie wrote out for me to announce on that, Tom.
Oh, did she?
Now, she didn't...
Let me give you the name real quick. I got it. Well, wait a minute. Do you know what it is?
John Heimch. Basically, he will be running the bait shop. It'll still be a regular tackle shop for panfish, bass, walleye, etc.
Yeah.
They'll have boat and kayak rentals. He's going to hold special events. So he's a great guy. So Loie's still in charge of it, has the slips out there. So all the rumor, I had to make a Facebook post, first one I've done in 10 years, all the rumors running rampant on that. So, yeah, she made it real clear she wants to let everybody know that. Now, did she tell you about the liquidation? Because she hadn't, I didn't hear about that.
No, I heard it from Ron. That she told Ron.
She told Ron. Okay, I will try and confirm that with her. Tom, I'll try and confirm that with her by next week just to make sure that that's correct.
Yeah, the boat club. What's the name of the boat club right out of Smokey's Muskie Shop?
I can't remember.
Oh, geez. This is terrible. I'm trying to look at a sponsors list that I got all these papers laying around, and for some reason, I can't find one.
There's a number of them, but.
No, but
regardless,
the one that advertises on our show, they
used to advertise on the show, and then the owners of it, they sold it to John, I believe. It used to be the two brothers that ran it.
Yeah, and then they said, but they still advertise. No, they do. During the next
It doesn't week, matter. It does, really doesn't matter. Suffice it to say, the shop is still open.
Yeah. Good.
That's the main thing we want to get across.
So. Yeah, the shop is still open. You can still launch a boat there. You can still park there.
And
a lot of that musky stuff will be going out rather inexpensively. So.
Well, I'm sure all the vultures will be, you know, they're already probably circling the wagons. Heck, Ron probably got his pick of the litter already, along with some of the other technicians that work there at Smokey's.
Yeah, all the technicians, yeah. They
might be, you know, by the time you get there, the 13th, there'll be a few waxworms left, so.
Yeah.
So, I got enough musky tackle. No more.
Yeah, I know you do. I've seen that those racks in your living room of musky gear. And that, you know, with me, I'll tell you what, I used to have boxes and boxes of the darn things, and I realized over the years that there's a handful of lures that I use a lot of, you know, and I don't use all the other stuff. So I figured, well, why have them just messing up the boat, you know, taking up space? So I got rid of most of them, and, you know, I'm left with, I don't know, maybe two or three dozen, and that's it. You know, and I think, gee, that should be enough to catch a wily muskie, you know.
Well, there's always some new bait. Every year I try and pick up one or two Do a little research and find out what's the latest and greatest. And I'll buy maybe one or two new baits, but I don't go too crazy. And then you think about it, Tom, all the baits that your guy has hanging, and you never, they haven't touched water in 10 years. So,
yep.
Hey, as long as we're making announcements here, the walleyes for tomorrow will be having their meeting. Too late. They had their meeting already. But they're getting ready for their fishery, which will be next week, Saturday. And what they're going to be doing, it's going to be COVID friendly. They're actually going to have a tent out on the ice. And they will have a road plowed, from what I understand. They'll have kind of a makeshift thing with tables and so forth. You can bring your own cocktails and food. If you don't want to drive your vehicle out there, they pretty much figure you can carpool. There will be a number of vehicles going back and forth. They will, I believe, have the walleye wagon out in front of Curly's, though, and they will be selling the main raffle tickets, and green main raffle and fishing tickets will be sold at the walleye wagon at 6:30 at Curly's Waterfront. You can pre-buy if you go by the beer depot. You can pre-buy tickets right now. For the bucket items, they'll have red tickets sold out on the ice for those bucket items. If anybody would still like to donate, even a good quality bottle of booze or something, and donate, donations are still appreciated. The fish weigh-in will be in at the tent right by Curly's. So they're going to have a bunch of prizes. This is a great fundraiser, and the weather should be in the 20s, so everybody will be out there probably with their shirts off after this stuff, getting a tan. So
yeah,
something to look forward to.
Supposed to be nice, nicer weather starting on Monday.
Yes.
Supposed to go up, you know,
hopefully,
looking forward
my friend.
To that. That's for sure.
Yep. And if you would like, now tomorrow's Valentine's Day, Tom, you know, and you know, boy, in my life, boy, that Valentine's Day, that's the big day for me, man. But here's a little plug I want for Park Avenue Pizza. Tell that special someone, how much they mean to you with a special heart-shaped pizza just made for them. And only them, darling. Pizza for a purpose. Park Avenue Pizza Company will donate $4 for every large heart-shaped pizza ordered through February 14th, that'll be tomorrow, Tom, to help children and families affected by heart complications. You can also donate just to donate. Every donation / heart-shaped pizza ordered will be put in a raffle to win some cool prizes donated by Brad from Lake Breeze Realty. Thank you, Brad. It's pizza for a purpose. And also, due to popular request, the Saturday night trivia is back. Trivia starts at 8 o'clock tonight, I guess. Call and save your seat. And they got a dine-in special. $4 off a large pizza when you buy a pitcher of beer. And $5 off a large pizza when you buy a bottle of wine. So Park Avenue Pizza. Also, if you're looking for a great place to work right now, they are looking for servers. It's a nice family restaurant right here in Pewaukee.
Yeah, I've been there before. I like that place. It's a
yeah.
nice, homey atmosphere. Yep.
Well, you know what I've done, Tom, in recent weeks? I had to clear space on my wall for my $2, which I did get back. They look fantastic. The 10-point looks enormous on the wall. And kudos to Hop, H-O-P-P Taxidermy in Sparta. He got both my deer heads done from this fall. All my other friends are waiting a year from their taxidermists. So Hop gets right on it. He's almost done with my black squirrel. He did my two pheasants years ago. So if you're looking for somebody for game, now again for fish, I would go to nobody but Dan Johnson. He does the greatest fish. But to make room for my deer, Tom, I had two beautiful walleyes, which were caught by Steve Milliot up in Sturgeon Bay, both around that 13-pound mark. And I got tired of looking at those on the wall because they made my 11.5-pounder look small. So I actually donated those to Park Avenue Pizza along with a 42-inch pike of mine. And they look fantastic on the wall there. And then another guy donated a big salmon. So if you go to Park Avenue Pizza, you got some cool stuff on the walls to take a look at there. They really have a nice atmosphere.
Yeah, that sounds neat. I think more places are, you know, especially around a lake, I think that they would put up more stuff like that, you know, around the lake, put up more fish, you know, on the wall if they could.
Yeah.
It just seems like it goes together, you know?
It does go together. Now, they've got an old movie theater theme there, so they've got some other cool things, old movie posters and so forth, and other things on the wall. But, yeah, there is a big wall right there, and it got a lot of nice comments. I mean, those walleyes, they were done by Dan Johnson, and they're just incredible-looking mounts. So they're there. And I thought about it too, Tom. You know, what's the sense of me having these walleyes on the wall here where nobody appreciates them? As opposed to putting them somewhere where they can see them. Also, I told you years ago that I kind of loaned my big Pewaukee Muskie, the 50-plus incher that I caught years ago, another beautiful Dan Johnson mount. That's above the fishing counter at Midwestern Shooter Supply. And I thought, you know, it's great. It's somewhere where people are gonna see it and appreciate it. You know, I know I always like going to bars up north. And I always look at the mounts, you know, whether it's a deer or whether it's a fish, and wonder, guess how big it was. And people kind of appreciate it. In fact, I was looking at a video online. If you Google how to set up polar tip-ups for walleyes, there's a YouTube video where a guy is standing, giving one of the pros, giving kind of a seminar on how to spool up a polar tip-up. And I look over his shoulder, and there's my muskie on the wall. He filmed it at Midwestern Shooter Supply. So if you go to that YouTube site, you can see the muskie in the background. Looks good.
Yeah, that's cool. And I wanted to give a shout-out to Tom and Mary Jo. They stopped and saw me on Wednesday over at Sherper's, and I always appreciate them. They're wonderful people, and we talk about all kinds of stuff, and they always ask, how you doing, you know, and that, and... Yeah, so I just wanted to thank Tom and Mary Jo for stopping over and visiting me. That's kind of nice, you know, because these days business is a little slow, you know, especially in February and when it's so cold out. So it's nice to have friends stop over and say hi. So just wanted to put that out there. And coming up next, folks, is the Gut Report. I don't have a recipe, but I got a really good cooking tip. So you want to stay tuned for that. He's Dan Bush. I'm Tom Neubauer. We are the Wacky Walleyes Cutting Edge Outdoors right here on 1250 AM, The Fan.
Come here. I'm going to eat you. I'm bigger than you. I'm higher in the food chain. Get in my belly.
The Gut Report is brought to you by Discount Liquor. Well, today's tip is on cooking bread. That's right. I cook bread. I make a bunch of different kinds. But the basic and easiest ones, you know, they're pretty basic and easy. But here's the tip, though. Whenever you make your dough, you got to put it in a warm place, okay? Now, what warm place do you have, especially in the wintertime, you know? But here's the place that I found years ago. Well, I didn't find it. Somebody told me about it. Turn on the oven light in your oven. Put the oven light on. Put your bowl with the bread dough next to the oven light, and then close the oven door. That's the warmest place in the house. And I'll tell you, it gives just the right amount of heat, that little light does, to prove your bread to the place it should be, the rise you should have. So remember that. Put it in the oven with the oven light on. It'll prove properly and rise to where you need it. The Gut Report is brought to you by Discount Liquor, where you're going to find the best price, selection, and service at 51st and Oklahoma in Milwaukee and Main Street in Barstow in Waukesha. For weekly specials, go to DiscountLiquorInc.com.
Welcome back to Wacky Walleyes Cutting Edge Outdoors. We want to thank all our listeners again out there listening, waking up, getting ready to go set your tip-ups today. And Tom, being as we don't have the football picking contest, oh boy, sad to see that one go. I mean, it wasn't really a contest. It was a football picking giveaway.
Darn.
son of a gun. But that means less stamps for Dan Dan mailing all that stuff out to people. We still have the Hornswoggle, however. But being as we're missing that football segment, Tom, Sam and I have queued up a special little football segment here. It's the best part of the Super Bowl last week, so take it away, Sam.
Second down, 20, 5:03 to go. Someone has run on the field. Some guy with a bra. And now he's not being chased. He's running down the middle of the 40. Arms in the air and a victory salute. He's pulling down his pants. Put up your pants, my man. Pull up those pants. He's being chased to the 30. He breaks a tackle from a security guard. The 20, down the middle, the 10, the 5. He slides at the 1, and they converge on him at the goal line. Pull up your pants, take off the bra, and be a man. And the players with hands on hips at the other end of the field are looking at him and shaking their head and saying, why, oh, why is this taking place in a Super Bowl?
And Kevin, if you're going to run that far, get into the end zone.
That's good, Sam.
Don't slide at the one. You got to score once you got on the field.
All right. Thank you, Sam. That clip courtesy of Westwood One Radio, which was the call by the radio announcer, I believe, Kevin Harlan. So you would not have heard that on the mainstream TV. And some of our listeners probably might have heard that already, but I just thought that was rather comical. Kevin Harlan, I'm telling you, he has some great calls. And if you want to Google and check some of his other calls, there's one where there was a black cat on the field. So it's funny how he calls the cat and the streaker just like he's calling a player running down the field.
And I don't know if you heard about this, but that streaker bet $50,000 that there would be a streaker during the Super Bowl. But like a dummy, he told people about it. It got back to who took the bet, and of course, he didn't get his money.
So, I get it. So he bet that. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. What a dummy! If you're gonna do that, you gotta be super. You gotta be super quiet on that one, man.
Yep, exactly, yeah. So, well, he wasn't too bright to begin with. You know, I'm surprised, in the past, when people have run out on the field, one of the football players will give them a shot, you know, and knock them down and, you know, make them hurt a little bit. This time...
Put up your pants, my man!
What, Sam? What was that?
Put up your pants, my man!
Oh, yeah, you pull up your pants, Sam. Oh, that's funny.
We got to keep our pants up today, Tom. Hey, you were talking about people doing dumb things. The streakers won, but I saw this on the news. Apparently, some gal ran out of hairspray, right?
So
she used Gorilla Glue, the spray adhesive Gorilla Glue, and it's sticking to her head. And she's contacted the Gorilla Glue people, and they're trying to come up with suggestions. I think she even went to the hospital. They suggested something. But now she's thinking about suing Gorilla Glue because the warning says, don't breathe, don't get on your eyes, don't get on your skin, blah, blah, blah. You would think that's enough, right? If they put that in there, they maybe didn't specifically put hair, right?
Yeah, don't put on your hair.
I mean, you can't stupid. That's all I can think of. Stupid. How could you be so stupid to do something like that?
What did John always say? He always said you can't teach stupid, and crack don't smoke itself.
Yeah. There's another one. Might fix ugly, but I can't fix stupid. I don't know.
Yeah, all right. Like that. I mean, my goodness, how dumb. And then to think she can get away with suing the glue company.
Well, now every day, that's why, if they gave that streaker, a football player, gave him a check and knocked him down, I wouldn't do that as a pro football player because he's going to try and sue you, man.
Yeah. One time they were showing disclaimers on items, what not to do with them. And one of them was it had on a lawnmower. It showed the lawnmower trimming bushes. It said, do not trim bushes or trees with this lawnmower. It's like, who would think of that to even try to do that, you know?
Well, I'm sure it's been done by somebody. You see some things. Hey, you were talking about your gut report tip about keeping your buns warm. Get that bun warmer. Chuck gave me an interesting tip. You know those hand warmers that you use, the ones that you activate?
Yeah.
He said if they're still active, what you can do is if you seal them up in like a Ziploc bag, you know, with the air out, that you can store them like that, and when you pull them back out, they'll regenerate, and you can reuse them.
Oh, really? I didn't know
that. Yeah, that's what Al said. He mentioned that because I guess it's the oxygen that
right.
Here's our chemistry lesson, boys and girls. The oxygen that activates it. So now, you know, our listeners, that's further reason to listen to this show because you get great tips on keeping both your buns warm and your hand warmers warm and activated.
Yeah. Well, you know, the tip I gave wasn't keeping buns warm. It was for having your bread dough rise. They call it proving or proofing, and to make the bread dough rise. And sometimes you got to do it twice. But I'll tell you, that oven tip is the best thing, man, where to put it to have it rise. And, you know, making bread is so simple. All it is water, flour, yeast, and salt. That's it. I mean, that's your basic bread, you know, your basic
right.
bread. It's so simple to make, yeah.
It sounds good, Tom, although I'm on that no-bread Mediterranean diet now, you know, so.
Yeah, I should be on that, but I said the heck with it. I like a piece of warm bread every now and then with butter, so.
Yeah, I kind of noticed lately there, you're kind of throwing caution to the wind on that there, so.
Yeah, I guess.
I guess you got to, live your life, I guess. So that makes sense.
Sometimes you just, you know, it's one thing, you know what they always say, moderation. Moderation in everything, you know.
Everything so. In moderation,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, moderation, so.
So what's the, I gave you the Pewaukee ice fishing report. What's the story from your son? Has he been getting out and about? Any intel?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, he's gone out in this cold weather and hasn't been doing great. You know, a few crappies, some bluegills, a northern pike here and there. Nothing fantastic, you know. It seems like this cold weather kind of shut down wherever it is that he's going to, kind of shut it down a little bit. And so it's just been okay, you know. And he's had to take his shanty out with the heater because it's been quite chilly where, you know, when he's been going out. Because normally he doesn't take the shanty out. But when it's cold like this, yeah, he definitely does. So he asked me to go with him. I said, no, that's okay. I'll stay where it's warm.
Yeah, I think there is. I actually was checking into this a little bit. I think there is something they do call a midwinter lull, where it just kind of, first ice can be really good. And as I've stated before, I had some good action first ice. And then I think late ice, I think, gets good again, especially for like pike. They do say that I think the fish, maybe the fact that they are a little more lethargic, maybe a dead bait this time of year would be good. Unfortunately, like in our, you know, lakes in Wisconsin, unless you're on Lake Michigan, Bay of Green Bay, or certain, I think the Winnebago system, you can still use the smelt because they've already got the VHS there. But like in inland lakes, you got to get the special brine stuff with the borax or whatever the heck they put on them. So, but a dead bait might be. But why would that pike last week, Tom, T-bone that dead perch and then just drop it? I don't get it.
Well, remember I told you that I was watching some YouTube video where, you know, guys put down their camera. And they can, you can see, you know, and they watch their baits and watch what the fish do and how the northern pike would come up, grab the bait, you know, they'd squeeze it, chomp on it, and then just let it go and swim away. And it's like no rhyme or reason to it. They just want to kill it or something. I don't know. But, you know, I was watching them doing that, thinking that was awful strange. And now you were watching it live and in person. And, you know, it's weird. You know, you'd think they would eat it, you know. You think they
how
would.
How many? But you think about it, Tom, how many times have we been out musky fishing where one grabs the sucker and then lets it go?
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, although for pike fishing, I have in recent years started to kind of cut back on the Tiger Shark rigging, where I used to use wire leader with double treble hooks and so forth. And especially in clear water, the word on the street is, especially like the Bay of Green Bay, but now maybe not down by the Fox River, but up towards Sturgeon Bay, that the guys there are going finesse with fluorocarbon. Doug Stange, an in fisherman, also stated that he's been using 20-pound fluorocarbon and sometimes just a single treble hook, I believe, for a while now. And he says, has he been cut off by one yet? No. Will I get cut off by one sometime? Probably yes. That's what he states in there. But I've started tying up using some 20-pound fluorocarbon just because I'm trying to go a little bit more stealthy in the clear water. So, because pike, believe it or not, can, in certain situations, they can be finicky.
Oh, yeah, I agree 100%. And just want to let people know that coming up next is the Hornswoggle, brought to you by Carl's Country Market out there in Menominee Falls on the corner of Silver Spring and Pilgrim Road. Carl Country Market has got all kinds of award-winning sausages and meats and a lot of other things you wouldn't think would be there that are there. So are there there? Is that right? Are there? How about that?
Well, anyway. Put up your pants, my man!
Yeah, I know. I don't know. I got to pull up my pants. Anyway, the Hornswoggle is coming up next, and if you want to win a $10 gift certificate to Carl's Country Market, all you got to do is be a contestant, and that means calling right now at 414-799-1250. If you have won in the last 4 to 6 weeks, don't call. Sam is keeping a list, and he's checking it twice. So let somebody else have a chance. 799-1250. Be a contestant right now.
Welcome back to Wacky Walleye's Cutting Edge Outdoors. I'm Dan Bush, along with bass fisherman extraordinaire Tom Neubauer. And right now we've got our long-awaited, world-famous Hornswoggle segment. I'm going to make three statements related to the great outdoors. And if I'm saying a fib, that's a Hornswoggle. If I'm speaking truth, it's a no Hornswoggle. And if you get two out of three correct, we have a lucky contestant that will win. What will they win, Tom?
A $10 gift certificate to Carl's Country Market,
which has delicious, nutritious meats and all kinds of cool stuff there. So definitely go check out Carl's Country Market. And talking a bit about big fish on the wall, Tom, we've talked about this before. Go to the gas station next door, which is a part of Carl's, and look at all those huge fish that, what's the owner there?
Paul.
Paul's huge fish, yeah. He's got some monster walleyes as well. And who is our contestant, Sam?
Today we got Mary and Pewaukee.
Mary in Pewaukee. Hey, good morning, Mary.
Good morning, Mary.
Good morning.
Good, good. You know, it's kind of nice to get a female contestant on this. You know, we got a little male heavy on this, so thanks for playing here. And I'm going to start off. We're going to talk. It's fish. Fish is going to be the topic here. So number one, perch. We talked about perch a little bit ago. Perch are a part of the pike family. Hornswoggle or no Hornswoggle?
No Hornswoggle.
No, that was a Hornswoggle. That was a Hornswoggle. Tom, perch are part of what family?
The walleye family.
Walleye family. Okay, but that's okay, Mary. You still got a shot. You got two more to go. So here we go. Carp. Carp. We're talking about Asian carp in particular. Asian carp have become a problem in the U.S. and Wisconsin. Wisconsin has the largest population of Asian carp out of all the states. Wisconsin has the most. Hornswoggle or no Hornswoggle?
No Hornswoggle.
Sounds like Mary's got a little help in the background.
Darn, that's a Hornswoggle.
Mary, don't listen to that guy anymore.
Illinois has the highest population by far.
Okay. Oh, so, Mary, you're getting bad info.
Well, I'll tell you what, Mary.
Okay.
I'll tell you what. You call again next week, and And we'll make sure, we got to make sure you eventually become a winner here. So thanks for playing, and give us a call next week and see what you can do. Thanks again.
Thanks, Mary. Hey, Danny, got a question for you.
Yes.
What's the state record yellow perch?
Record yellow perch would be 3 pounds, 8 ounces.
Pretty close. 3 pounds, 4 ounces, yeah.
Wow.
And do you know what lake it came out of?
It came out of Kilroy, Lake Kilroy.
Oh, out of Winnebago.
Winnebago, yeah. Where the sun comes down. Okay.
And, you know, earlier this year, that guy caught that monster perch out of the Bay of Green Bay. That could have been a new state record, but he let it go.
Well, if you look at state records, they've got the catch and release category. And I believe the catch and release inches perch, I think it's like 16 and a half inches or something. Mm-hmm. You know, our buddy Ron Johnson caught and released a 17-inch perch while walleye fishing there 2 years ago. And I believe had he been able to get that certified, and, you know, he might have had a potentially state record catch and release.
Yeah, I know. Years ago, I saw a 17-incher caught down at the Lake Michigan, you know, fishing behind the Summerfest grounds there. Captain Jack, I can't remember his last name right now. Captain Jack had some kids out there, and one of the kids caught this. And at first when he caught it, when he got it in the net and brought it up, I thought it was a smallmouth bass. And I went over there and looked at it, and I went, wow, it was huge. You know, and he measured it. It was a legit 17-incher. And, of course, they kept that one. You know, the kid wasn't going to let that one go. So I just wonder if they ever had that mounted for him. That would have been nice. Yeah.
That's a big perch. I and a good friend Al Shook are going to be going to North Dakota, Devil's Lake area, to fish for some giant perch here. I think next week. Don't worry, I'll be at the show. However, I think we're leaving next week Sunday after the show, and we're going to be up there for 3 weeks of fishing, and we'll also have some tip-ups. I mean, 3 days of fishing.
Oh, okay.
And didn't want to have you cause a heart attack there, Tom. Sorry about that. 3 days of fishing, and catch some pike as well as perch. So it'll be another adventure heading to the north. Boy, I hope it's not cold.
So Al must know a hot spot, another lake that's good up there, huh?
Well, Al has a buddy of his, quite a storied history. I believe this guy used to guide. Al and he went to high school together. I think the guy used to guide in Africa as a hunting guide at one time. He used to hunt, I believe, guide on the Mississippi Flyway for waterfowl. He talked about how he literally burned out I think it was a Benelli or something. He literally burned out a Benelli by shooting, I don't know, tens of thousands of rounds or something crazy like that. I don't know what the number was. But this guy, so when we went and visited him when we were on our way back from Montana pheasant hunting, we pull on up and it's pretty much Sodbuster Central. You pull into his yard and he had about, I don't know, 30 ducks sitting on a table that they still needed cleaning. He had some guys, some construction guys working on some of his stuff out back. He was building a house. And he says, hey, I got to run these guys out and set them up for the ducks tonight, because he was doing a trade-off where they were doing, I don't know what, electrical work or whatever, construction work in exchange just to be able to go have him set them up duck hunting. And this guy has this big trailer that's all set up just exclusively for ice fishing. It's like, I don't know how long it is, but it's a big trailer. I think it's got the floor compartments you can take out. And he goes out and gets those giant perch. And the secret is this. All these guys on TV will all say Devil's Lake, Devil's Lake, Devil's Lake. Well, guess what? They're not all just on Devil's Lake. It's Devil's Lake area, but there's lots of great lakes around Devil's Lake. But they don't want to let the cat out of the bag and let you know exactly where they're at, because, you know, they don't want to have it get, you know, raped and pillaged. So pretty much they're just going to say, we're in the Devil's Lake area. They're not necessarily on Devil's Lake all the time.
Okay, got it. Huh. And, yeah. And of course, you're not going to tell everybody what lake it is, right?
No, I'm not going to do that. You know, I'm going to be like my idol, Tom, who won't even tell you, you know, what's the best, most available bathroom that someone can go use in the area. No, I'm going to be like Tom. I'm going to be tight-lipped and keep all my spots to myself.
You got to keep a few secrets, you know. Got to keep a few. But you could tell me, hey, I promise I won't tell nobody.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I'll tell you. Oh, yeah. Well, maybe your son could come on up there and... I don't know. You know, Tom, I guess the guy uses... Now, I've got a jig pole that I won at one of the fisheries years ago that I never used. It's just a cheap little jig pole. But I went to Sherper's, and I went to the Sherper's in Oconomowoc, Tom, and bought a bunch more tip-up line. And heads off to Sherper's. They got a good selection of stuff out there. And I also picked up some... it's kind of a fluorocarbon-coated ice fishing line. It's 4 pound. I put that on the... my little spinning reel, and so apparently we're going to have to go and try and jig for some perch. I don't know. If I get bored with that, I'll just have a beer and wait for a tip-up to go up, I think. But the guy up there, I think he even uses line 6, even 8 pound, I think. They got some big perch up there, so I hope I don't have some monster perch bust me off with the 4 pound line.
Yeah, you got to be careful because, you know, they get 2 pounders up there, you know, and so that's pretty good-sized perch.
My brother-in-law got about a 14, Mississippi River, I think he got about a 14 or 15-incher mounted a couple of years ago, and a big, fat, yellow perch. If you have, you know, have someone like Dan Johnson mount it for you, where they'll have all those colors vividly recreated, a big, fat, jumbo perch is a beautiful fish.
Yeah, without a doubt. And, you know, a lot of people don't realize it, that when they take in a fish to be mounted, you can still get the meat from it, you know. You don't have to, you know, some people say, well, geez, I'd like to, you know, eat this fish or whatever, I'd like the meat from it, and they think that when they take it in, they don't get the meat. No, you can ask the taxidermist to save the meat for you, and they will fillet it out because they don't need the meat. You know, they just need the skin. So don't be afraid of that. You can, you know, so if you got a 14-inch perch and you weren't going to have it mounted, but yet you want to eat it, hey, no problem. You can get that meat from it. So
that, and even if you don't want to get the skin mount, the reproductions are going, you know, I guess those are getting more and more popular.
Yeah, right. And they're running about the same price. So, well, listen, right now we got to go to a quick update here because we're coming to the top of the hour. So we got 1 hour down, 1 hour to go on the Wacky Walleye's Cutting Edge Outdoors. Stay tuned for more, folks.
The following is paid commercial programming. The content and opinions expressed do not necessarily reflect those of WSSP, Entercom Milwaukee, its staff, or sponsors.
From Lake Michigan to the Mississippi, and every river, lake, and field in between, let's talk everything outdoors.
All aboard! Ha, ha, ha! You're on the crazy train!
All aboard!
Welcome to the Wacky Walleye Cutting Edge Outdoors Show. Fasten your seatbelts for a wild ride through Wisconsin's outdoors. Only on 1250 AM, The Fan.
That's right, folks. Buckle up, and because we're riding high through Wisconsin this morning, and we do appreciate you joining us for our second hour with Dan Bush and myself, Tom Neubauer. You can always contact us during the show. You got any questions or comments at 414-799-1250, or you can email us live at ceoguys@yahoo.com. And just let everybody know that last week's podcast just got up a little late. That's all. There was a slight technical problem last week, but podcasts are ready and raring to go. So, good morning, Danny. One down, one to go. How about that?
One down, one to go. I'd like to support another one of our clubs, the Milwaukee Muskies Inc. chapter. Now, again, I am a member. I don't go to meetings, but again, if you fish muskies, you should belong to the local chapter because they do a lot of good stocking, a lot of good work. And if you fish walleyes, you ought to belong to the Pewaukee chapter of walleyes for tomorrow. But the Muskies Inc. group is going to have a meeting, kind of an event, white fishing in Door County on Saturday, February 27th. I think they've got a guide, and they've got, I'm not sure what guide they're going with, but they're going to have shacks and heaters, and each shack is $250 for the day. Each shack can fish up to four people, so Tom, you can do your math and figure out it's not that expensive if you're going to split that with four schmoes out there with you. And even if you want to bring your own pop-up, you can get on out there via UTV. And they'll be picking up right next to Sand Bay Beach Resort. And also, they'll be getting on the ice around 7:30 a.m. So if you're interested, if you're a member of Muskies, Inc., you can email at Vegas, V-E-G-A-S 492, Vegas492@yahoo.com. And hey, even if you're not a member, why don't you email, tell them, hey, I want to go on the trip. And by the way, I want to join Muskies, Inc., the local chapter. Wouldn't be a bad idea. Sounds like a good event, Tom.
Yeah, and it also sounds like they got plenty of ice now up in the Bay of Green Bay. You know, with this cold weather the last, week and a half, 2 weeks, whatever, they must have been making a lot of ice up there. So
yeah,
that's all.
Yeah, hopefully they don't have any more incidents like happened there in the past. I am planning on, Tom, I think I'm going to do this. I was talking to a old former fishing client of mine years ago, and he actually has gone up to Wacky Walleyes with Dale Stroshine several times, and he did do that walleye school, and that March walleye school, and it's worth it, you know, because you got a couple nights lodging, you got meals, and then you got kind of the seminars. But then when you go out there, he told me that Dale has all the gear. I mean, he doesn't even want you apparently using your own stuff, because he's got the right setups. And it's pretty much a jigging type thing. And apparently Dale teaches you exactly how to set up that jigging rapala, because it's all kind of, you know how guides have their own little ways of setting things up.
Yep.
And kind of like when I'm out trolling, I prefer to set the lines as opposed to having someone else, because I got my persnickety way of doing it. And this is what works, and this is the way I want to do it, by golly. And I can see Dale, you know, I don't blame a guide for trying to be a perfectionist, because you get a pattern down, it works, and you want to get the people fish. But apparently he'll help you set it up and watch to make sure you're doing it right. And I guess it's really a total jigging thing. It's working a cadence where you 1, 2, 3, drop it to the bottom, jerk it, 1, 2, 3. And I've never done that kind of jigging, but apparently that's the way to do it. I'm surprised you couldn't use like minnows on tip-ups with fluorocarbon, but apparently you got to show them some action to get them to bite. But they do get some mogambos, and for the price, Tom, I don't know what it is, $300, whatever. I went online. I could go and stay downtown in a motel in Milwaukee for one night and spend $120 today. Well, heck, you're getting a couple nights lodging plus the fishing. I mean, I think it's a great deal. So I think I may give that a shot, Tom.
Yeah, that sounds a great idea. Hey, we got an email here from Adam. Adam says, it truly saddened me to hear of the closing of Smokey's Musky Bait and Tackle Shop. It brought many memories back that had me laughing, and some brought a tear to my eye. One of the things I will miss most will be Mistake on the Lake. Just being able to get out and see everyone at that event was always the best way to begin the fishing season. I could go on forever. See you fellas soon. P.S. It's currently minus 15 degrees up here in Presque Isle, and I'm waiting for the old guys to get up and go ice fishing. God bless, fellas. That's from Adam. Well, thanks, Adam. We do appreciate that. He must be listening to us on his cell phone or computer or something. But, you know, he talked about Smokey's closing. We mentioned that earlier, how Smokey's Musky Shop is going to be closing. But, I mean, there's still going to be a shop there. But like you said, Danny, it's going to be live bait and like the panfish and bass stuff and whatever.
Just not the musky stuff anyway,
right.
But apparently
right.
The guy who's taking it over, was that called Water's Edge Boat or Edgewater Boat Company? Or what? You were trying to think
Water's
of it before.
Water's Edge Boat Club, yeah, that's it, okay. Water's Edge Boat Club.
Anyway, apparently this guy, John, is a great guy, according to Loey, and he is planning on having special events. So who knows? Maybe we wouldn't necessarily have to rule out mistake on the lake. Maybe one more legacy of John Layman could continue on. Just because it's not a musky shop, what would stop people from setting up and having a lure and swap thing at the shop anyway? So who knows?
They're going to have a liquidation sale of all the musky stuff on March 13th and 14th. So I don't know what the percentage off yet is going to be, but put that on your calendar, folks, March 13th and 14th. Yeah, and I was talking to some people about, you know, I mean, we all miss John, of course, and we miss Monkey Island, which was upstairs from the Musky Shop. I mean, there were so many good memories, and I mean, it is sad that it's a part of an era that's gone by now. You know, especially upstairs from the Musky Shop, Monkey Island. You know that. I mean, there were so many times we had so much good fun up there, and John had so many strange ideas, you know, that were always a lot of fun. Do you remember movie night?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we had movie night there.
And believe it or not, a bunch of people would come to that, you know?
Yep. I mean, it's a movie night. Some of our radio listeners, in fact, it got the name Monkey Island from Steve Mill, yet prior to that, the nickname was The Barbershop.
Yeah.
Because the barbershop is where everybody sits and talks and talks stuff, you know.
Yeah.
But Monkey Island fit it really good. So, John started a great legacy, and we miss him a lot. But right now, I think we have a caller, Tom.
Okay.
We got Randy in Grafton.
Good morning, Randy.
Hey, guys.
Yeah, what's up?
I miss John, too, and I remember you used to hold those get-togethers. You guys know Tim. I've known Tim Allen for a while, and we were talking the other day. We got to get out to Pewaukee fish, him and Rami, and do a little fishing. They got the new program and everything, but that's not why I called. It was interesting. You brought up carp before, and, end of April, I'm planning going down to Kentucky Lake to fish with a buddy, and, you know, specifically targeting the red ear, the shellcracker fish. I've been interested in going after those for quite some time. And I'm going to pick up the silver carp, although difficult to clean and fillet, and that limits their commercial value, actually are excellent eating. Everyone I've talked to, they're more have the texture of chicken, but they're actually, unlike most other carps, and I agree with you, Tom, I've had them every different way where they're okay, I guess, would be the best comment I can make. But these silver carp, the ones that fly out of the water, we've seen videos of them, are actually excellent. So I'm looking forward. I don't know whether you could – I was thinking about with the bones. You can flay around them. I think I've seen the same video you did, Tom, where they demonstrated they actually filleted the fish and prepared them on air. But that was many years ago. But, I'm interested. They seem like, from a food source, are excellent eating are going away. So I'm going to kind of kill two birds with one phone, with one stone there. Pick up some of those silver carp. I guess they're very easy to get.
I like that better when you said kill two birds with one boat.
There you go, exactly. Although, and quite honestly, about 7 years ago, I was looking at getting a retirement place down there, summer place, and the biologist told me, he said, I got to be honest, Randy, hold off. They were very concerned about the Asian carp taking hold, and they do have had an impact. They're filter feeders. But more so, it seems, on the bass population, the crappie, not as much. And I've always, these red ear sunfish, I've been amazed. They're like, I've been told by everyone they fight harder than the bluegill. And, you know, oftentimes they grow up to 13 inches. I'm just excited about going down. They're much more difficult to target. In terms of, and you can mostly catch them on, you have to target their spawning area. So I'm looking forward to that. But, yeah, the silver carp, the flying carp, I guess they're delicious. I'm looking forward to getting a few of those and bring them back.
You know what I hear, Randy? I think that they're not bottom feeders like your basic carp. They have plankton, right? They filter, like you said, and so that's why they're supposed to be pretty darn good to eat.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And there must be something about them, Dan. Just, you know, certain fish taste a certain way. I don't think I've ever had a bad-tasting bluegill or perch, but it's just sort of something different about that species. There's plenty of them. There are a lot of meat on them. Whether or not I was thinking about running them through a food processor, I've done that with making fish cakes, and where you don't mess like northern pike, where you can just grind up the bones. I don't know if that's an option with those, but in any case, the main thing is I love fish, and I hear they're absolutely delicious, have a firmer texture, and it's sort of a shame that there is not a better market for them, but they are trying to control them primarily through commercial netting.
Well, once you try it, you got to call us and let us know how they are.
Yeah, sounds good. But, it'll be interesting that time of the month, end of April, full moon. Hoping if we don't get readier, we got some pretty good crappie fishing to fall back on.
Yeah. Well, thanks for the call, Randy. We appreciate
it. Guys.
Good luck, buddy.
All right. Let us know how those carp are. Okay. Talk to you later. And with that, we got to go to a quick break, folks. So stay tuned. You're listening to 1250 AM, The Fan.
Rock and roll. Welcome back to the Wacky Walleyes Cutting Edge Outdoors. I'm Dan Bush along with Tom Neubau. We are in our second hour of power. As Tom likes to say, he stole that from that Christian radio show, Hour of Power, or TV show, whatever.
Did I steal it? I just
yes, you did. You stole it. You stole it. We could get in trouble. So, Tom, there's three types of people in this world. Those that make things happen, those that watch things happen, and those that wonder what happened. And right now, you do not want to be the third category and wonder what happened, because we have to be, I mentioned this last week, we want to really be aware of what's happening as far as our possible gun rights. So basically, I alluded to this a little bit last week, this legislation, H.R. 127, introduced by Shelia Jackson Lee, a Democrat, of course, from Texas, in Congress. So here's some of the things that would impose if this type of bill passed. First of all, licensing of firearms and ammunition for possession of any firearm or ammunition. An additional license to display an antique firearm in the home. An additional license for possession of military-style weapons. Mandated firearm liability insurance with a yearly fee of $800 payable to the U.S. Attorney General. It would also impose a detailed federal firearm registration system to which the public, all federal, state, and local law enforcement agencies, all governments, and branches of the U.S. Armed Forces would have complete access to. Licensing requirements to possess any firearm or ammunition must be 21, undergo a criminal background check, complete a minimum 24-hour training course certified by the U.S. Attorney General, undergo a psychological evaluation, and the evaluation does not indicate that the individual is psychologically unsuited to possess a firearm. Successfully complete a training course certified by the Attorney General in the use, safety, and storage of firearms that includes at least 24 hours of training. As far as the criminalizing type thing, I'll kind of skip on down here, but it says those who violate section blah 922B4 shall be fined not less than $75,000, not more than $100,000, imprisoned not less than 15 years, not more than 25, and on and on and on. And I mentioned the large capacity magazines, even your Ruger 10/22 with a 10-round magazine would not be good. So there's more gory details. I won't bore you with every word here, but this is important. So right now, don't be a cheapskate. Don't be a chiseler. Go out and join Gun Owners of America. You can Google it. Go online. $25. They'll keep you abreast of different things and legislation. We can't be sitting back just watching things happen and wondering what happened when our gun rights are gone. And I am going to renew my membership to NRA despite their malfeasance. I don't know if that's the word, but their them using funds incorrectly and enriching themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah, there we go. That's the big word, Tom. That's why you're here. You're the genius of the show, Tom.
Well, but you know, I was just going to say, Danny, that I think all congressmen and women and senators should be have to take psychological testing.
I think AOC should definitely have to take it.
I think she needs a lobotomy, or maybe she had one. That's why she is the way she is.
I don't know. It's all about me. I was terrorized. The protesters weren't even in your part of the building. Don't get me going on.
There's enough nut jobs over there. But you know, a lot of people want to think that we're totally against Democrats. No, not necessarily, because there's a lot of Republicans that are Republican in name only. They call them rhinos, of course. You know, so we're against them too. So.
Well. I mean, I've got certain things that tend to line up with, you know, gun rights is one of them.
Freedom
of religion, freedom of speech. There's a lot of things that I, you know, so I don't care what party it is that supports, as long as it's my positions, really doesn't matter.
And like we talked about before, that's how, you know, Nazi Germany, Russia, a lot of areas across the world that, you know, when somebody wants to take over, they start with getting rid of the guns so they can't have any insurrections, you know.
The scary part here, Tom, is now, right now this is proposed, but let's say this goes all the way through the process and it goes through the House. Well, now it goes to the Senate, and once again, now that it's all pretty much, you know, again, I don't want it. We got a lot of gun owners, friends, listeners that are in the Democrat, would call themselves a Democrat, and they have guns, but a lot of their representatives are anti-gun, and being as they now have the majority, there is a real possibility some of this stuff could pass, and man, then that goes into law. Oh my gosh, that would be crazy. Now, I'm not a real smart guy, Tom, but I think the only thing would be, let's say something like this does pass, I'm guessing that it could be possibly challenged to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court would rule on whether it's infringing on our Second Amendment rights or not. I don't know.
To the Supreme Court. It would have to, yes.
You would think that
costs money to send lawyers to the Supreme Court to fight for something, and that's why having the Gun Owners of America being our advocate would go a long way.
Yeah, and I think, like I said, I'm going to send in my membership to NRA again anyway, because they are out there fighting for us as well. Plus, I get that American Hunter magazine, which I like. So I will be renewing that. But we did have a spokesperson on from Gun Owners of America a couple months ago, and I was looking for his email. I lost his contact, but I think I am going to contact Gun Owners of America again and see if they'd be gracious enough to have a spokesperson join us on the air and talk about some of these issues, because I do think it's important. We can't just be here sitting on our hands and then just all of a sudden let it happen because we don't think it's ever going to happen, and then we're screwed.
Yeah, that's right. Yep. I agree, Danny. I agree.
The other thing too now, you know, I'm still perusing shelves at area stores, and man, I'll tell you what, ammo still is not on those shelves yet. I know the ammo manufacturers are doing their darndest to get the stuff out. But if you do have a chance in getting a hold of some ammo, I'm fortunate, Tom, that I've got lots of ammo, and for each of my firearms. So for hunting purposes and enough to fire a couple shots to sight in, I'm pretty well good to go. Probably for the rest of my life, really. But Yeah, it's hopefully it gets a lot easier to come by. And fortunately, Tom, I stocked up on shotgun shells before this year to do the before I went to Montana with Al. In fact, funny story I'll tell you real quick, Tom. I guess we got about 5 minutes before break. I went pheasant hunting with Al Shook this week, and I hope he doesn't mind me saying we thought we were supposed to be there at 1 o'clock. Well, apparently that we had the field was reserved for 11 o'clock. So they released the 10 birds at 11 o'clock. Well, the good news was is that nobody had the field at 1 o'clock, so we could still go on the field and hopefully find those pheasants. Well, hopefully being the operative word. It was kind of a sign of things to come when we pulled into the lot and stopped and looked out over the field, and there were like three hawks circling all over one particular area. And then we got in the field, they left. Do you know that we found, the hawks must have had a field day. We found the remains of at least six to eight fresh pheasant kills where those hawks had swooped on in. Now think about it. They can see a mouse from way up in the sky. I'm sure they can see these newly released dazed and confused pheasants that they spin around and get them dizzy when they first let them go, stumbling around in the snow. Oh my gosh, that would have been something to watch those hawks swooping down and having a field day, man.
Yeah, that sure would. Yeah, you know, I was mentioning to a customer just a few days ago about not last summer, the summer before, I was having some problems with my Ruger 1022 that the shells would jam every now and then. Now, I had started using a different shell. I think I was using Remingtons or Winchesters or whatever, and then I started using some of the CCIs. Well, this guy said, if you're starting to, he said, normally on that Ruger 1022, they'll just eat up anything. It doesn't matter what. But if you're getting jamming problems, he said, take it to a gunsmith and have them clean out the trigger assembly, which is, you know, right below where the part where she back goes back and forward, you know. And he said that a lot of times that trigger assembly you can't get at, you know, when you clean your gun, you know, the inside of it. But if you take it to a qualified gunsmith, that they can take it all apart, clean it thoroughly, put it back together. And he said, and your problems of jamming should be gone. So I'm going to be doing that probably in the next week or two, having that taken care of.
With the semi-autos, they can be picky sometimes as far as which ammo they prefer. Now, one thing that can be a problem, if you go with some of the lower velocity stuff, those tend to jam more. Now they've got some real low, quiet velocity. They might not have enough juice to cycle the action. In fact, on my Ruger Deerfield carbine, I had bought some 225 grain Barnes bullets, and they would not cycle the action on that Ruger Deerfield, which is a semi-auto action, rotary design, virtually very similar to the Ruger 1022. But what I would do, Tom, if it's a trigger assembly, rather than go do that, go out and do yourself a favor. Go buy, I think they call it the BX trigger. It's the replacement trigger for the Ruger. It drops right in, and it's about $60. It'll drop your trigger pull from 6 pounds down to 3 pounds. You'll have a real crisp trigger pull. And I actually took mine out to, I think I went up to MJ's in Hubertus, drove up there. I said, can you put this trigger group in? Now, apparently, you know, if you have half a brain, you can do it yourself, but I've only got a quarter of a brain, so I'd rather have someone who knows what they're doing do it. And I went up there, and then the guy came up, and he says, what do you want to do with your old trigger stuff? I said, well, I don't need it. I said, well, can you use it? He says, yeah, we can use it for parts. I said, well, take it. And then he goes, no charge. Hands it back, and I walked out the door. So he put it in there, cost me nothing. But I'll tell you what, get that replacement trigger. You used to have to pay a couple $100. You'd pay as much as what you'd pay for your rifle to get a Timney replacement trigger, which is their pretty popular brand. But now Ruger makes their own. It's cheap. It works great. If you got a Ruger 1022, get one.
All right. And with that, we're going to take the break right now, folks. It's 7:29, coming up on 7:30. So we'll be right back with more of the Wacky Walleyes Cutting Edge Outdoors. Stay tuned.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Wacky Walleyes Cutting Edge Outdoors. We are in our last half hour of the show, and thanks for getting on board for another ride on the crazy train here. And Tom, I got a copy. Have you got the latest In Fisherman magazine by any chance?
No, I do not.
No, you do not. Okay. I got the latest In Fisherman, and they talk about, it says on the cover, it said the top 10 pike lures of all time. So real quick, before I opened the magazine, I wrote down on the cover of the magazine what I would pick is the top 10 pike lures of all time, and then I compared those to the magazine. So I was wondering if I could read some to you and see if you agree with what my list says.
All right.
Okay. Daredevil.
Of course.
Okay. Johnson Silver Minnow.
Of course.
Red Eye Wobbler.
Of course.
Rapala.
Of course.
Meps.
Yep.
Okay. Now, here is where the first five rattled off the top of my brain. It just like, whatever, like came off slicker and snot on a doorknob, went came fast. But anyway, after that, I had to think a little bit, so I put Spinnerbait. I didn't put a name brand.
Yeah, yeah.
Jig and Minnow.
Sure.
Soft plastic jigs.
Yeah.
Jerk bait.
Yeah.
Like Suic Bobby. And then I put down Bulldog because Bulldog, I've caught a lot of big pike. Now, when I actually went to the magazine here, as far as their actual top 10, okay, here's what they had. So it matched up Bucktail Spinner. It said the Meps Magnum Muskie Killer, so I pretty much said the Meps.
Yeah.
They did have the Weedless Spoon Johnson Silver Minnow.
Okay.
Their jerkbait was the Rapala Husky Jerk, the number 14.
Okay.
Which is the big one that I've actually used those in little sturgeon years ago in spring, and they'd hit it right when you paused it by the boat. They did talk about a soft plastic stick bait, which they talk about a Lunker City 10-inch one. I've never been a soft plastic guy. Maybe when I'm done with the list, you can let me know. I don't know if you've used soft plastic for pike or not.
Not they for do talk pike, about for muskie, but not for pike.
Yeah. Okay, so you have for muskie. Crankbait. Okay, so it says crankbait. It says the Rapala Shad Wrap. Now, I would have picked right. The Super Shad, not the Shad Wrap. But they're talking about the Shad Wrap. Again, they talked about the Five of Diamonds Daredevil. So I right. guess they had the red and white one. And yeah, it just says Spoon Daredevil. So I guess I mentioned that one. Spinnerbait. So I had that one. Here's one I did not have on the list. Lipless Rattle Bait. They mentioned like the 3/4 ounce Bill Lewis Rattle Trap.
Yeah. But you know, do you really think of that when you're thinking pike fishing?
You really don't.
No.
So that's one. I mean, I caught some. I was trolling years ago in my little aluminum boat on Monona. And I caught a bunch of pike trolling a big super wrap, they called it. It was the rattle trap on steroids. It was a fire tiger one. And I did catch a bunch of pike. But no, that one doesn't come to mind. Here was one I almost put down, but I didn't. Buzzbait. My cousin used to catch big pike on a buzzbait on the St. Louis River, and it works nicely over weeds, a bigger size buzzbait. But how about yourself? Have you used buzzbaits for muskies or pike?
Every year when I'm fishing with my sons, every year, and this is for many years, we use buzzbaits for bass and catch a lot of pike, and every now and then a muskie. So, you know, I mean, we don't use them going for pike. We use them going for bass, but you can't keep the pike off of them. They're going to jump on them too. So I wouldn't think of it as a pike bait, but definitely you're going to catch, you know, northerns on it, without a doubt. Yeah.
Definitely a bait you will. Maybe you don't necessarily think it's a pike bait, but it's a bait you can catch pike on,
yeah,
basically.
Definitely, without a doubt. Right. Yeah.
And then the other one, they do have jig. And I did mention it. They mentioned using the bait rigs, Esox Cobra jig, and putting a skirt on that. Now, I know I've heard that in those Canadian lakes where those big pike are just post-spawn laying in a foot of water back in those bays, that they're relatively inactive sometimes, and dragging some kind of a plastic or jig along the bottom is they'll suck that up, I guess. It's a type of technique I've never really tried, but I guess it could, and for muskies in the spring too, I'm sure it could be productive.
Yeah, a big jig with like a reaper tail or some type of plastic tail on the back of it. Yeah, that, you know, that's sure, why not, you know?
A big old lizard?
Yeah, a big old lizard. I mean, let's face it, we probably wouldn't use that down here. You know, I can see that up in those Canadian lakes, you know, where they, like you said, how they have the spawning muskies, I mean, the spawning pike in shallow water. Yeah, that would work there, but do we really think of using that down here? I mean, let's face it, most of the time when people are thinking about catching pike, they're either using live bait or they're using a bucktail, some type of, you know, like a MEPS or some type of bucktail, you know. You know, but I don't think a lot of people, you know, think about, you know, catching pike like that, you know, targeting pike, that they're usually fishing for something else and catching the pike, because, you know, the pike are, I mean, they'll grab just about any darn thing, you know.
So I will tell you, you mentioned they'll grab just about any darn thing. My friend, good buddy Ron Johnson, Ron and I, as you know, we go up and we do the smallie fishing up there in Door County. And 2 years ago, after I left, he went into some area, which will remain nameless. It'll be the Lake X type thing, but we'll just suffice to say Bay of Green Bay, Lake Michigan, close enough. Anyway, he claimed that he had follows from about 20 pike after pike after pike, and he caught one big one. The only thing that they would that it hit was he had this bass size spinner bait. I think it was like a chartreuse in white. So we go back last year, took a break from the smallie fishing, and we go out there, and he says it was right about here where I was seeing them. It was outside some pier that he recognized. And I'm telling you, it was like muskie fishing. We had follow after follow after follow, but they just dart off. They wouldn't do a figure eight. And it was the most frustrating thing. I was tying on everything I possibly could. And then Ron did catch a 40-incher. It was the only fish we caught that day. He caught it on that same spinnerbait. And I switched to a spinnerbait. I actually did have one hit. I did try a soft plastic, and I did have what I felt was one grab that. So I did have that, and I did have one take a swipe at another bait. I can't remember what it was. But you talk about frustrating. I'm used to that crap musky fishing, not pike fishing. So then we went back about a week later, my brother and I, with live bait. I got some nice big chubs, and they looked great. Water was a little choppy. We really couldn't fish as efficiently as what I really wanted to. And the pike had kind of cleared out. We didn't see like all the cast after cast. You know, we'd have follows, you know, when Ron and I were there, he'd have a follow in the front of the boat and I'd have one in the back on the same cast. But he and I were out there and a fish swam by the boat and he goes, "Oh, I just saw a big pike." And then he goes, "Oh, it's swimming your way." So I look out and I see this fish swimming through. And I said, "That's not a pike. That's a carp. That's way too fat for that. That's too big for a pike." And he goes, "No, man, I'm telling you, that was a pike." I'm like, "No way." Well, then it turned around and came cruising back by closer. And I saw the giant white ovals. And I'm telling you, man, that was a 20-pound pike if it weighed an ounce. And all winter long, I've been stewing about those pike that I saw. And I'm making plans, my friend, on going back for them and trying to figure out what is going to be my approach to trip their trigger. Because I'm telling you, there's some big pike. And the great thing is nobody's fishing for pike there.
Yeah, that sounds like a quest that you should
It's a quest.
Yeah.
It's a quest. Call me Johnny Quest and you're Haji.
You know, you mentioned about seeing fish that you thought were carp. One time on Oconomowoc Lake, I was fishing with this one guy, actually, who was a client, and had him out there, and he's casting in this one area, and he's reeling in, and he said, oh, look at what's coming behind my bait. And I said, that's just a carp. You know, don't worry about it. That's just a big old carp. As it got closer to the boat, we realized, and I couldn't believe it, it was a smallmouth bass. It was the hugest smallmouth bass I had ever seen in my life. And I've seen some big ones. And he was throwing the bucktail, and it followed it almost to the boat, and then it veered off. And when it veered off, you know, you could see the whole side of it and knew exactly what it was. And Oconomowoc, you know, is a very clear water lake. And I could not believe the size of that smallmouth bass. I swear to God, Danny, maybe the water made it look bigger or something. I don't know, but my golly, if there was a state record there, that had to be it. You know, it was just monstrous. And I thought it was a big old carp, you know, because it was brown, you know, and so was the smallie.
You're right. They look like carp. I was on Oconomowoc with a friend maybe 15, 18 years ago, and we were musky fishing in late fall with suckers, and we drifted over some shallow weeds, and I looked down, and I said, hey, there's a couple carp laying down there, and then we got over the top of them, and we both were like, those aren't carp. Those are smallmouths.
Yeah.
And they were huge.
Yeah, they got some biggies out there, that's for sure, but you know, that whole situation out there on Oconomowoc Lake has changed. Maybe we'll get into that after the last break, talking about how the bass fishing has changed out there on Oconomowoc Lake. But anyway, we got one last break to go, folks. Stay tuned. Hold on to your heinies, like Larry Smith would say, and we'll be right back with more with Dan Johnson. I almost said I'm thinking about him now all of a sudden. With Danny Bush and myself, Tom Neubauer. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
It's the final countdown. The final countdown.
Welcome back to the final segment of the Wacky Walleyes Cutting Edge Outdoors. The train is getting ready to pull back into the station or whatever. So thanks for listening this morning. And Tom, you mentioned you were talking about Oconomowoc Lake. I know that's been a big go-to lake for you for a lot of years for some big fish. I've caught some nice muskies, and years ago there used to be the white whale out there that Steve Milliot and Dennis Radloff and all the guys had seen. What's going on with that bass fishery out there? You mentioned it's changed.
Well, you know, 15, 20 years ago, you'd go out to Oconomowoc Lake, and if let's say if you caught 10 bass, 8 or 9 of them would be smallmouth, 1 or 2 would be largemouth. And over the years, the numbers started changing. They started flip-flopping. Now, when you go out to Oconomowoc, if you catch 10 bass, 9 or 10 of them are going to be largemouth. Maybe 1 will be a smallmouth. Doesn't mean the smallmouth aren't there, but I don't know what exactly is going on. I'd like to talk to our DNR fisheries biologist about that. But it just seems like the largemouth have overtaken the lake. There's still big smallies there. I mean, the two lakes that have the monster smallies would be Pewaukee and Oconomowoc. So they're still there, but just not in the numbers that they used to be. You know, the spots that I would go to catch smallies, I mean regular, I go to those same spots and either catch nothing or catch largemouth. So, I mean, we still do catch some smallies, okay? Don't get me wrong. They're still there, but not in the numbers that they used to be. And I don't know why the largemouth have taken over, because it seems to me like the smallmouth are more dominant. When I had my bait shop, I had an aquarium in it, and there was a largemouth in there and a smallmouth in there. And the smallmouth, even though it was a little smaller than the largemouth, it would push the largemouth around. It was the boss of that tank.
Do they stock bass in Oconomowoc, or is it all natural?
No, they don't have to.
No.
Okay.
That lake is bass. Oh my goodness! It's a bass machine.
All I can speculate, Tom, is that somehow the conditions, environmental conditions, are such that it's allowing the largemouth bass to successfully spawn more so than the smallies. But I don't know. Sometime maybe we'll get Ben Heisner on the line to explain. But right now we got our Boulder Junction connection on the line,
good.
Tom. We got Dennis.
All right. Good morning, Dennis.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
We're
doing good.
Fine. How are you doing up there in God's country?
I'm doing wonderful. We had a cold week this week. Our coldest day was Wednesday morning at 32 degrees below zero.
Now, that was actual temperature?
That's the actual ambient air temperature. That wasn't the wind chill.
Yeah, that wasn't the wind chill, no. Wow.
But this morning has warmed up. It's only 15 below this morning, but but we got a lot of cold, and we finally got some snow, so everybody's having a good time snowmobiling and cross-country skiing and doing some of the winter sports. The lakes are a little slushy right now with all this extra snow that we got on them, but people are still getting out, but right now nobody's going fishing. It's just too cold.
Yeah, just damn too darn cold. But the ice thickness should be there, huh?
Yeah, we got plenty of ice. That's not a problem right now, but getting around is a little bit difficult in some lakes where you got the slush. You don't want to get stuck. And that's really a tough job. You get a snowmobile or an ATV stuck on a lake to get them out. So
yeah, when it's cold like this and nobody's going out fishing, maybe you and your buddies ought to open up some type of casino at the restaurant.
I'll have to bring that up this morning when I hang up here. That's where I'm sitting right now, having a hot cup of coffee. So
that's nice.
But I hear you talking about bass fishing I'm thinking to myself, pretty soon we'll be talking about that. There'll be open water again, and that I'm looking forward to that right now.
Yeah, the days are getting longer and longer, and as a matter of fact, daylight savings time is coming in the middle of March, isn't it?
Yes, they're pretty quick here it starts. So, but we'll be happy when spring gets here. Right now, winter can start taking a downhill slide if it wants to.
Right. Well, at least you got the snowmobiling and skiing right now, and hardy anglers, if they got a shack with a heater, can go out. But other than that, you just got to keep warm.
Well, we'll hunker down for a while, maybe in a couple of weeks. I'll give you a call. The crappie fishing should be really starting here. I'm going to say probably another couple of weeks, and that's a lot of fun this time of year.
Right. Okay, Dennis, well, thanks for calling.
Yep, we'll talk to you guys later. Have a good weekend.
You too. Bye now. That was Dennis Royce. Our Boulder Junction connection. So every now and then, Danny, he makes it down to Waukesha. He's got family down here.
Oh, he does. Okay. Well, he used to come down for the, fishing show or sports show?
Yeah, the sports show he comes come down for. Yep, yep.
I haven't heard. All that stuff is canceled this year?
I haven't heard it. Normally they would be talking about it, but I haven't heard a darn thing about it, so...
How about that fishing show in Madison? Is that
I haven't heard about that one either. I know they got a muskie show up in Wausau, and I don't know if they're doing that one in West Bend again, the fishing show. So, I don't know, we'll have to see. We'll have to wait and see what happens.
I guess they're looking at it in several ways because – they're thinking, with the COVID, we're not going to get the amount of people or we're not going to have the number of vendors to come on out and do it. I think that other groups probably think, well, I want to be prudent and not contribute to a spread of something. So maybe we better cancel it this year. The walleyes chapter, though, I will mention again next week. You can drive out by waterfront. You can sign up right there at the trailer. I'm sure some of the boys will be there, and you can sign up for the main raffle. Then you can get yourself on out on the ice, buy some of the bucket raffle, support that. And again, today and tomorrow, okay, you're sitting there at home, you've been a slacker, you forgot tomorrow's Valentine's Day, you don't know what to get her, take her over to Park Avenue Pizza right here. If Dan Bush is sitting there by the bar, he'll buy you a beer. Don't hold him to that. But
I better come out there.
Oh, yeah, you, Mr. Chisler. you'd make me buy you the Uber ride to come out. But it's $4 for every heart-shaped pizza. You're going to show the one you love. Girlfriend, take your guy. Get him the heart-shaped pizza for $4 or for a real good price. And then $4 goes to a good cause today and tomorrow. And I guess that's about all I got for that, Tom.
Yeah, that's all I got too, Danny. Until next week.
To all the listeners, thanks for listening. And God bless and stay free, everyone.
You've been listening to Wacky Walleye's Cutting Edge Outdoors. We'll talk to you next week. Same bat time, same bat channel, my friends.